All thanks and praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty Maker, Creator and Sustainer of the Universe. We send darood and salam upon the final messenger of Allah, Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have performed Salatul Maghrib with Jama'ah. We commence with our lessons immediately thereafter on this evening, which is the 9th of Rabiul Awwal of the year 1429 after the Hijrah, equivalent to the 17th of March 2008, with our lessons on life after death. And the chapter we are commencing now is the appearance and function of Malak al-Mulk. Israel alayhi salam is the name of the angel that is in charge of death, has been from the beginning of time, from the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, all the time right through the father of mankind, the mother of mankind, and subsequently all those who have passed away. There has been only one angel that has been in charge of death, in charge of removing the ruh from the body, the soul from the body of man. That which gives man life, gives it spirit, gives it function, gives it nobility, gives it honor. This ruh that makes man alive, keeps man alive. Man sleeps, but the ruh is always within the body. Even when sleeping, he is breathing. The senses are there at any moment, given moment. If you shake him, if you pinch him, he will awaken and the ruh will immediately become sensitive. All these functions one day are going to end, and it will end with what we call death, the termination, extinction, end of life. So it is interesting to look at and to study the appearance, the function, and the work of Malak al-Maut. We can only say that Malak al-Maut appears in different guises, in different ways to different people. He appears a special appearance for the pious, Allah-fearing, devout, true, devoted Muslimin, mu'mineen. He appears in one shape and form. To the kafirin and mushrikeen, the idolatrous people of the world, he appears as a very fearsome, frightful angel, a person, nevertheless, in human shape, human form. So we are going to look at the experiences of the various prophets, messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the various awliya Allah, and what they have to tell us and report to us as to the appearance of Malak al-Maut. And we're going to look at those examples, study them, so that we also are aware. We don't know, you and I don't know, in what appearance, what shape, what form Malak al-Maut is going to come to us. But let me assure you that if you have listened to this chapter, you can be sure no matter how Malak al-Maut appears to us, we will recognize him when he comes. Because of this, this is the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi used to explain to the Sahaba ikram on many occasions the appearance of Malak al-Maut. Sahaba ikram became so used to it that when Malak al-Maut came along, then they lived in expectation of his coming, and they had no problem to greet him, and he greeted them and they greeted him, and so a kind of companionship, understanding was established. They never looked upon Malak al-Maut as an enemy. They always looked upon him as a friend, somebody who has got to do a job. He's got a duty, and when he came along to the Sahabas and the Awliyas, they welcomed him. They said, "We've been waiting for you. Where do you get people today that will tell to Malak al-Maut, we've been waiting for you, we've been expecting you, we have been anxiously looking forward to your coming," and so on. So let's commence and do this on this evening of Monday. From authentic, in this very noble month of Rabiul Awwal, from authentic narrations, ahadith and sayings, narratives, we learn that there are two appearances of Malak al-Maut in general, which are significant, which are very relevant to this chapter and to this lesson. The one appearance is to the disbelievers or the wrongdoers or the sinners whatever you want to call them, disbelievers, sinners, hypocrites, idolatrous people, kafirin, mushrikeen, munafikeen, Malik al-Maut comes to them in a certain way, with a certain appearance. And the other is the one which Malik al-Maut comes, is presented to the true and sincere worshippers of one Allah, the people of Tawheed, and the followers of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who follow the Sunnah Mubarak, the blessed Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who keep to the Sharia. Oh yes, in their lifetime they may make some mistakes, they may commit some minor sins, but they keep seeking forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear in the Quran Majid, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made it clear, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive sins. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does forgive sins. That is Allah's mercy. So it is possible that when a person is dying, all his sins may have been forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but no person knows. We must remember that the angels have their own original shape and appearance with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has endowed them at their creation. Everything has a shape, a form, an appearance. Each of the angels has got their own special appearance, how they appear. We won't do it here, but at some future time we will do, where most of the angels are huge. They are like giants. They are huge in size. Alright, but this is not the chapter on that. We're not talking about the malaikas, we're talking about Malik al-Maut. So what I'm saying to you here is that we must remember that each of the angels have their own original shape and form and appearance with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has endowed them at their creation, when the angels were created. But being created of nur, of light, they have the propensity, they have the ability to alter and change their appearance as a condition requires here on earth. It is in this light that we first examine the appearance of Malik al-Maut to sinners and disbelievers, and then we shall look at how he appears to the obedient and submissive Muslimin, the true believers, the pious, the muttaqin, the saliheen, the siddiqeen, who live their lives according to command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and according to the teachings and practices, the sunnah and sharia that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established for those who have the integrity and wisdom to see the worth of such divine order for the most noble creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is mankind. So we are going to first look at how he appears to the kafirin, mushrikeen, and so on, to the sinful people, and then we will look at his descriptions when he comes to the mu'mineen salihin. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam requested of Malik al-Maut. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam addressed Malik al-Maut and he said, O Malik al-Maut, show me the appearance in which you extract the soul of sinners. Tell me, Malik al-Maut, you are with me, you appear to me, you come to me in a certain shape and form, but tell me, to the people who have sinned, the sinners, the disbelievers, how do you appear, how do you look when you appear to them? Malik al-Maut replied to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and he said, you will be unable to stand up to my appearance. You will not be able to bear. If you see me the way I appear to the sinners and the wrongdoers and the kafirin and the mushrikeen, then you won't be able to bear it. Do not ask me this question. Don't ask me that I must show you how I appear to the sinful people of the world, the disbelieving people of the world. O Ibrahim alayhi salam, you will not be able to stand up, you will not be able to bear my appearance. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, however, was adamant. He said, no, I want to see. I want to see. He insisted to Malik al-Maut. Now do bear in mind, when a Nabi, a Rasul, makes a dua and a prayer and request, then he has to be obeyed. the angels also have to obey him. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam told Malik al-Maut, "Don't worry, Malik al-Maut, I will be able to bear it. I will be able to stand up to it." Therefore, Malik al-Maut requested Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam to turn his face the other way and not to look directly at him. He says, he appealed to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, "Oh Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, turn your face away from me. I will adopt that appearance with which I come to the sinful, disbelieving peoples of the world, and you turn your face, and I will tell you when I'm ready." After a little while, Malik al-Maut, the angel of death, asked Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to turn and look at him directly. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, who was famously known as Khalilullah, as the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turned around. When he turned around to look at the angel of death, this friend of Allah, when he turned around to look at Malik al-Maut, whose name is Israel alayhi salam, he saw a dark and an ominous giant standing in front of him with long straggling hair, hanging hair, and emitting a horrible and unbearable stench. The smell, you couldn't bear the smell. Malik al-Maut appeared there like a huge giant with long hair hanging right up to his feet. Long hair. May I say it? Very ugly looking. Unbearable to look at him. And the smell, you could not take the smell. That's how bad the stench was, that unbearable stench. He wore dark, frightening clothes. His clothes were frightening, the clothes that he had on. Flames of fire were leaping from his mouth and from his nostrils, from his nose and from his mouth, where the openings are in the face and the mouth. Fire was gushing out. It was running out from his mouth and his nostrils. The appearance of Malik al-Maut was most fearsome and dreadful, and Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam could not bear to look at him, and he fell down unconscious. After some time, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam regained his consciousness. Malik al-Maut in the meantime had regained his original gentle appearance. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam observed, "If there was no other difficulty for a sinner than your frightening appearance, then this awful and dreaded appearance of you, O Malik al-Maut, would be sufficient to serve as his punishment. Just to look at you is so frightening that is enough. For a sinful person, a disbelieving person, only to look at you, it is so frightening, it is so shocking." Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam requested, was shown, and there it is. That is how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam narrated this hadith, and that is how we know what shape and form Malik al-Maut takes when he goes to take the ruh of sinful people. Such is the appearance of Malik al-Maut to the disbelievers and sinners, those who have chosen to make this world and the pleasures of this world, the luxuries of this world, the haram things of this world, the forbidden and prohibited things of this world their goal and their destination in life, at the expense of and in exchange for the life in the qabr, in the grave, and the eternal life of the hereafter. Those who have made this dunya their maqsad, their goal, their objective, and they spend all their wealth and all their time and all their time in life for attaining to these worldly pleasures, which is very, very destructive, they are the people to whom Malik al-Maut will appear in this way. They consider in their narrow vision minds that the life of the world is a, that the life of the world is the only one that matters and counts. Until death comes along to meet them, and they see the angel of death and get the shock of their lives, for they know that there is no turning back the clock, and that they have lost out on the opportunity to regain their place in the mercy and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My sincere and heartfelt prayer is that we listen carefully and considerately to these talks on the life after death, and bring about the reforms in our lives that will deliver us from the greatest foolishness of all, to lose our way from the Sirat al-Mustaqim, and to cast away the spiritual legacy left to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by Allah's most noble and cherished messenger and the chosen one, the Khatimun Nabiyyin, the bringer of the perfect and divine message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the whole of mankind, Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help, guide and have mercy on all of us. Ameen. I may mention here that when I spoke about the appearance of Malak al-Maut to some people who had reverted to Islam, formerly Christian people, and there was, I think, two Hindu brothers sitting there also. When I described it, they said that, look, but this is how in pictures they have seen the appearance of the angel of death. I said, no, you make a mistake. What you saw was shaitan. They portrayed the devil in this particular way. That is how he is portrayed. The devil is portrayed in this way, with flaming nose and mouth, fire coming out, and long hair and an ugly shape. I said, but you know something? That is Malak al-Maut when he comes. And of course, this is the picture. This is not shaitan, this is Malak al-Maut. And this is the way he will appear to people who have sinned. I remember I'm using the word sinners, because Malak al-Maut will appear in this way to those, many of those who think they are Muslims but who die as kafirs. So be careful, and all the time make istighfar. Now we turn to the appearance of Malak al-Maut when it comes to the obedient slave and servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who lives a life of taqwa and iman, who cares to the point of perfection, sincerity, and appreciatively, thoughtfully, and considerately, apprehensively, and fearfully about the consequences of his life on earth, and viewed his mission in this life to be one of submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and carefully following the Quran and the Sunnah and the Sharia, and leading a morally pious and ethical life in accordance to the dictates and vision of Islam. I'm asking you, how does Malak al-Maut appear to him? In what guise and what appearance? Malak al-Maut appears very kindly and gently, with a soft and pleasant, kind appearance, full of compassion, full of love to you. And this is when death is about to occur and the ruh is about to be removed. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam then requested Malak al-Maut. The one is now, Malak al-Maut's appearance was shown to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as a very fearsome and dangerous person. Now Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam turned to Malak al-Maut after he had recovered, and he said, now show me how you appear, O Malak al-Maut, to the obedient slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you come to extract their ruh, their soul. Malak al-Maut then appeared to Nabi Ibrahim, and no problem, he did not ask for Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam to turn his face away. Malak al-Maut appeared to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam as a handsome and youthful person, wearing the best of clothes, clothing with a wonderful and charming fragrance emitting from his body. From his body there was a beautiful, calm, soft fragrance coming out. It was too beautiful, this particular thing. I don't know if you heard, I have heard from some people, they say that before their grandfather or father or mother or grandmother passed away, they asked them for some attar and they put around the bed where they were about to pass away, they put some attar, some fragrance around there. So do bear in mind, why is this done? It is because Malak al-Maut has come near, and Malak al-Maut has come with so much fragrance that they feel they want to. And I advise you also, if you know that your time is up, very near to your death, and because Malak al-Maut comes away, you see him a few minutes before you go, so at that time you can always keep, when you so always keep some good attar near you, some fragrance around you, and spread it around your linen, around your bed, and so on. Don't use the kind of fragrances, the other kind of fragrances which contain alcohol and other haram bribery. Just be careful, you don't use anything that is haram at that time as fragrance. Use halal attar, which is permitted. That is the reason why, because when Malak al-Maut comes, he comes with this kind of fragrance. So Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam saw him, saw Malak al-Maut. He was young, he was youthful, he was extremely handful. He had beautiful clothing on, soft, gentle clothing, and a wonderful fragrance was coming out from his body. The Khalil of Allah, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, then commented and he said, if for a mu'min at the time of his death there is nothing to make him happy, then this beautiful and gentle appearance of Malak al-Maut is sufficient for his happiness and his peace of mind at the time of death. You will find also, I've heard from people, they say that the person relaxes and a huge smile comes on the person's face. The person is smiling, everything about the person becomes very gentle and very loving and very kind. He looks at everybody around him with great happiness, not sadness. There is no grief in the heart of the person. That person is going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is a lot of excitement. The person is stirred by the thought that I am now finished with this dunya and I'm going to my Allah. So that is how we must be ready. In a hadith, it is also narrated that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with a slave of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs Malak al-Maut. Allah says to Malak al-Maut, when Allah is pleased with the person who is about to die, Allah says to him, O Malak al-Maut, bring the soul of this person to me directly. I want to give him peace and comfort. He has successfully completed his test in the world as I set out for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs Malak, commands Malak al-Maut with these words. This is the ruh of this dying person. This is the ruh of a person who was my obedient slave. So you bring his ruh to me. The moment you extract his ruh, you bring his ruh to me. And I want to give him peace and comfort. This slave of mine has successfully completed his test in the world. The test as I had set out for him. Malak al-Maut comes to him in the company of 500 angels. Yes, a pious person, mashallah. Malak al-Maut always comes with a team of angels. Up to 500 angels come with Malak al-Maut. Now you may ask, what is this? Why 500? Where does 1 or 2, 3 or 4, 10 or 20, 500? The malaikas, they are numbers we cannot enumerate. There's a lot of them. And they come because when a pious, true believing person dies, the malaikas come down. It is their pleasure and their happiness to convey this ruh to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an expression of their happiness. when insan has accepted Allah, has accepted Tawheed, has accepted Quran, has accepted Sunnah, is a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's been obedient, all these angels come with Malak al-Maut, they accompany him and they come to convey the ruh to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an expression of their happiness and their gladness that this person is now coming with them. He will be in their company. He will be in good company. She will be in good company. That is why so many of them come down. Each of these angels conveys to him glad tidings of peace and happiness and of success. They come with branches of sweet basil. Rehan they call it. Sweet basil. And the roots of saffron they bring with them. Remember, these are from Jannah. These are the plants of Jannah. Basil, which is Rehan, they come with that. All these are fragrances, beautiful fragrances. They bring with them, and they bring the roots of the saffron plant with them from Jannah. All the angels stand in two rows on either side of the person who is about to die, on either side of him, forming a reception for this pious and obedient servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who lived a life of submission and compliance and never alienated himself from the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were times when the temptations and offerings of this dunya, of this world, beckoned him, tempted him, invited him, lured him, and invitations, inducements, and persuasions of shaitan, of his nafs, of his desires, and sinful friends were alluring and enticing to him, but he restrained himself, controlled his emotions, and governed his passions with the weight of taqwa and iman. And the thoughts of death, and the life of the grave, the life after death, and the resurrection, and accountability on the day of Qiyamah, outweighed every other consideration in his life. And the fear of rebellion and resistance and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drove him to reverence and subservience, often to the jibes and laughter of other people who wanted to know what made him fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that he withdrew from them, his independence and his freedom from being liberal and broad-minded, but he remained steadfast and true to his Islamic duties. And the result is that the angels now welcome him with the respect and the honor that he deserves into the arms of the eternal life of the hereafter. What I'm saying here to you now is, in his lifetime, this person, he or she, lot of sins. They were in, he or she was invited towards lots, committing lot of sins. And your friends used to laugh at him and say, what do you think, you're such a pious person? Who you, five times a day you make salah, you make tilawah, you make zikrullah, you go to the masjid, all these wonderful things you are doing. And all the time you sit at home, you make tasbih, you make zikr, all the time you are worried about your akhirah and so on. Who do you think you are? And his friends used to laugh at him. Allahu Akbar. But he kept himself in. He did not allow himself to commit sin, to do wrong, to lie, to deceive, to hurt people, steal from people. Never did it. Never bought haram, never sold haram, never committed haram. All those things, those malaikas come and they will tell him on that day. At that moment of death, they tell him, we welcome you. You are now going to leave the world of mankind, of people. You're coming to the world of the angels. We will be in the qabr, we will be with you. And hereafter, from the moment of death, you are now, you joining us. We will be with you. We will make your life very pleasant. So his companions and his friends are going to be the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the reason so many of them, they come to welcome you. These are remarkable, harmonious and serene moments for the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who glows and he basks in the sunshine of these glorious moments of death, where every promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is contained in the Quran Majid and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns out to be exact and it turns out to be true. All these words I'm telling you, at the moment of death, you will find every one of them turning out to be the truth. The malaikas are so pleased with him to have him in their company. In the dunya also they used to be with him. Every time he sat down to make tilawat or dhikr or salah, they used to be all around him. Shaitan wouldn't come near him. And that gave him the strength to be able to reject wrongdoing and sin and falsehood. All the time he was with Nur. And now when he's about to die, the malaikas come, all the Nur, he is in Nur. And from there onwards, even in the Qabr, it is Nur, Nur, Nur all the way for him. Shaitan watches these scenes. Remember, where there's angels, there's also jinns, the shayateen are also there. So Shaitan watches these scenes of this obedient slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he becomes very frustrated and he becomes angry with himself. Oh, not one Shaitan. Oh, hundreds of them are around this person. They're waiting for the opportunity. How can they lead him astray? No chance. The angels are near him. So if we have lived a pious and a righteous and obedient life in the dunya, you must know, the angels will be all around you, and shaitan will be full of fear, and the shayateen will keep far away from you. Such is the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you need, we need, the believer needs, the Muslim needs to know, to acknowledge that at that moment of death, the angels be with him and not the shayateen. 9 out of 10 Muslims, shaitan has been able to tempt and lead astray. I'm giving you the number. More or less, the majority of the Muslimin, I say almost 9 out of 10 Muslims, are led astray by shaitan and by their nafs. They become the lovers of shaitan, the slaves of shaitan. They believe shaitan completely. They turned away from restraint and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They turned away from the fear of death. They turned away from the fear of akhirah, simply because shaitan made promises of success and protection for them. So they heeded the call of shaitan and disregarded the call of Allah and the Rasul of Allah. When shaitan sees this wonderful reception for the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know which reception? The reception when all the malaikas, more than 500 malaikas, are all around this pious servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And shaitan, he's got a problem. When shaitan sees this wonderful reception for the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who took the promises of shaitan as false and as lies, and he never became the slave of shaitan, and who daily asked for protection from the waswas and the evil temptations of shaitan, and who never missed his salah, he never missed giving his zakah, and never missed his fasting in the month of Ramadan, who went to perform his Hajj of Baytullah, and who regularly engaged on a daily basis in tilawat of the Quran. Every day he used to recite plus minus one juz, half a juz, quarter juz of the Quran. And every day he or she used to engage in dhikrullah, who held meditation and reflection on the countless signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifested in nature, in the universe, as symbols of the tawheed and qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what I'm talking about, muraqabah? Is that every day he or she used to sit for a little while and close their eyes and then think about their life. Every day. Morning, sometimes in the evening, some most of the time before you go to sleep, they used to close their eyes and think, what have I done today? Have I committed any sin? Have I done anything wrong? Take stock and then make istighfar. Every day. Think about how kind, how good Allah has been to us. And then, two things you do. Make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for anything wrong that you have done, or you do not know, maybe you say, unknowingly, oh Allah, I may have committed something wrong, then you make istighfar. So shukr and istighfar, shukr and istighfar. And hold up the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who believed in the hereafter. Absolutely, oh Allah, I know when I die I'm going into the akhirah. Then a raging frenzy grips shaitan. Shaitan becomes mad. When you do this every day, shaitan becomes enraged with you. And he gets into fits. Shaitan has fits. He begins to wail and cry out aloud. His unbearable crying and screaming brings his attendants running towards him. And they ask Shaitan, their chief, their leading Shaitan, their Amir. They say, oh master, what is the matter? What has happened to cause you so much stress and pain? The chief of the Shayateen replies to his followers. He say, oh wretched ones, oh you rubbish, can you not see what is happening? Where have you failed to deceive and mislead this person? Here all the he's about to die, and 9 out of 10 Muslims I've been able to tempt and mislead. I have led astray 9 out of 10 Muslims. 90% of Muslims I've led astray. Remember, I'm exaggerating, I know. But this is in order that our listeners must hear this. That we don't know who is righteous, we don't know. Yes, I am saying this, that 9 out of 10 Muslims are misled by Shaitan, they're deceived by Shaitan. Because Shaitan is so forceful. So at that moment when this person is about to die, Shaitan begins to scream, cry, he wails. There's no ways he can go near this person. Because this dying person is surrounded by the malaikas. And so all the servants of Shaitan come running, all his children and his followers, his murids, all come running to Shaitan. They say, what is the problem, O chief, O master, what is the problem? This, he say, you're wretched ones, all of you, can't you see what is happening? Where have you failed to deceive and mislead this person? Whole life of this person, you had the opportunity to have turned this person away from Allah and the Rasul of Allah. Turn this person away from the deen of Islam. They see the singular and striking reception and welcome into the hereafter of this true obedient slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the shayateen are torn apart by their failure to have deceived and beguiled him. And they admit to their chief, they say, oh our master, oh our leader, I'm quoting from hadith to you. They say, oh our master, oh our leader, we tried very, very hard to patronize, to delude and to divert him, to deceive him. But he always searched and begged for the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save him from his weaknesses, from his sins. And we could do nothing about it when the favor and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompassed him. When we ask Allah, Allah's help comes. When we ask Allah to protect us, then Allah says, A'uzu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And many other du'as that we make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah answers, Allah replies, Allah protects, Allah's rahmah comes. When Allah's rahmah and Allah's nusra comes down, then we are protected. It is in this way, by turning constantly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by begging and beseeching the help and the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala daily, by reciting Ayatul Kursi, by reciting every day the four quls, by making du'as taught to us, the sunnah du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by avoiding sins, lies, and avoiding breaking promises, by fulfilling promises, and by not disrespecting parents, very important, by not disrespecting parents, by not disrespecting our elders, our seniors and our teachers, and by holding on to the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah and following the principles, disciplines and directions of the Quran, the Sunnah and Sharia, the true obedient believer, the mu'min Muslim, receives the mercy and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with this comes the kind and gentle appearance of Malak al-Maut at the moment of death, the harmonious presentation and reception of the hereafter. The person, dying person, is in peace and harmony in the qabr, and success and everlasting happiness and joys of the hereafter are for him. They are given to him as a present. So these are things that we must remember. When the death of Hazrat, now let me give an example. When the death of Hazrat Jabir bin Zayd rahmatullah alayhi approached, the wali of Allah, he was about to die. Someone asked him, "Do you wish for anything?" The person is lying on his deathbed, he's about to die. His name is Jabir bin Zayd rahmatullah alayhi. He replied to them when they asked him, "Do you want anything?" He replied, he said, "It is my wish to meet Hazrat Hassan." The message was conveyed, and after some time, Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi, who was his sheikh, Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi arrived. They ran to him and told him, "Sheikh, one of your murids is about to die, but his last wish is asking for you to come. He's calling for you. He's thinking of you." So Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi arrived there, and Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala told him, "Respected Sheikh, it is time for my departure now. My departure to the other world. I have no idea whether I am going towards Jannah or whether I am going towards Jahannam. My Sheikh, make dua for me." This has been way, the way of the pious and the Allah-fearing muttaqin salihin. Nobody knows his final destination. Here is an example only of a very pious person asking his sheikh to make dua for him, because yes, even in that dying moment, one doesn't know whether one has succeeded or not. That is only in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah ta'ala knows. The du'as of the pious, obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should always be sought, for it is the effectiveness and fulfillment of prayers to ask such pious people to make du'as. Hazrat Tamim Dari rahmatullah alayhi stated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Malak al-Maut, "Go to my certain friend and bring his soul to me." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded, instructed Malak al-Maut, "Go to my certain friend and bring his soul to me. I have tested him in both happiness and in sadness and sorrow. He has passed successfully as I directed him. Bring him so that he may be relieved from the difficulties of the dunya, from the difficulties of this world." Malak al-Maut comes to him. Comes to who? To Tamim Dari. Malak al-Maut comes to him with 500 angels. All of these angels come with shrouds of Jannah, with a kafan of Jannah. All these angels come with the shrouds of Jannah. In their hands they hold a bouquet of basil of Rayhan, which consists of 20 different colors, and in each color there is a different fragrance. Among the things they bring is also a white silken cloth from which the fragrance of musk comes out. Malak al-Maut sits at his head side while the rest of the malaikas gather around him. Look at the death of this person. While the rest of the malaikas gather around Malak al-Maut, they place their hands on all parts of his body. The silken cloth is then placed under his chin, and a door of Jannah is opened before his very eyes. He is entertained and interested by many very fascinating things of Jannah. He is shown many fascinating and wonderful things of Jannah. Sometimes the Hurin of Jannah are brought forward. At times the exciting and excellent fruits of Jannah are presented. And at times the serene and beautiful clothing of Jannah are brought forward and shown to him. In short, some of the most astounding and marvelous bounties and blessings of Jannah are presented before him, before his eyes. The Hurin of Jannah are full of joy and happiness in expectation of his coming. As this pious servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala views this scenario, his body aches and throbs with joy and happiness, and he becomes restless and impatient for the wonders and blessings of the promises of Jannah. Malik al-Maut informs him then, O Tamim, O blessed soul, come towards thornless low trees, towards layers of heavenly bananas, and towards spacious and wide shades and flowing waters. All these are the blessings of Jannah. In the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Fi sidrim makhzudin wa talhim manzudin wa zillim mamdudin. They will be amongst thornless lote trees. Who? The people who are going to Jannah. They will be amongst thornless lote trees. They will be amongst clustered bananas. And they will be in extended shade in Jannah. Surah Waqia, 56 Surah of the Quran Majid, Ayat number 28, 29 and 30. Malik al-Maut speaks to this blessed believer Tamim Dari in soft and gentle tones, like a loving mother to her child, knowing that the soul is a favorite friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The tone and approach of the angel of death towards the believing mu'min is tinged with kindness, compassion and affection, because this being is pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the joys and favors and rewards and blessings that death brings towards him. His soul has departed from the being of this mu'min like hay is taken out of dough. When the soul is thus gently and lovingly extracted by Malik al-Maut like hay from a dough, so easily does the ruh leave the body of Tamim Dari by Malik al-Maut. When the soul is thus gently and lovingly extracted by Malik al-Maut, the angels surrounding him that await the separation of the soul from the body greet the soul, and they extend its welcome into the eternal abode of Jannah. The Quran says, الَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ طَيِّبِينَ يَقُولُونَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ ادْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Those whom the malaikas cause to die in a state of purity, the angels say to them, peace be upon you. Here's a person about to die, and this is the greeting. This is how the malaikas greet him. Alladhina tatawaffahumul malaikatu tayyibina yaquluna salamun alaykum udkhulul jannata bima kuntum ta'malun. Those whom the angels cause to die in a state of purity, the malaika say to them, Salamun alaykum, peace be upon you. O our friend, enter Jannah because of your acceptable works, because of your striving and labor in this dunya, in obedience of Allah and the Rasul of Allah. Surah Nahl, 16 Surah of the Quran Majid, Ayat number 32. This is the way the malaikas come with Malik al-Maut to welcome that person, he or she that is about to die. This is the way they approach. This is how. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that we all of us die in this particular way. Ameen. When the soul leaves the body, it addresses the body it occupied for a long time. When the soul is leaving the body, the soul speaks to the body. For many years, the soul has been in the body. From the time of birth to the time of death. 40 years, 60 years, 80 years, 100 years, only Allah knows. The soul, as it leaves the body, it speaks to the body. This is what it says. May Allah Ta'ala grant you the best of rewards. I'm talking about when the soul leaves a pious, a true, a mu'min, a salih of the salihin. The soul addresses the body when it is about, says, I have been in your body for so long. You have looked after me. I was an amanat to you. You looked after me. You cared for me. May Allah Ta'ala grant you the best of rewards and blessings. You are always quick in obeying Allah Ta'ala. And you also continually avoided disobeying Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Oh my friend, may this day be a blessed and rewarding day for you. You have saved both yourself and myself from the punishment of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The body then addresses the soul in the very same kind and gentle, compassionate manner, telling the soul that the soul was an obedient and compliant soul that always selected and chose submission, surrender, sacrifice and renunciation as the preferred choice to please Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and therefore reached the stage of fulfillment and success. Oh my soul, yes, it is true, I looked after you, but remember, you were a blessing to me. You cared for me. You looked after me also. Soul speaks to the body, and the body speaks to the soul in this particular way. The body thanks the soul for having cared for it also, and tells it that you also helped me in submission, in surrender, in sacrifice and renunciation. The joint accomplishment of soul and body is expressed as being the dual reason for success in the afterlife. The very earth upon which this true believing, obedient mu'min used to make excessive ibadat also weeps. That earth, that ground on which he lived, where he made his salah, where he made his ibadah, where he made his zikrullah, where she made her ibadah, where she made her zikrullah. This very earth upon which this true believing obedient mu'min used to make excessive ibadah and zikrullah also weeps at the death of the submitter to Allah. The heavenly doors through which the deeds of this person used to ascend also cry out, and they weep at the loss of life of this pious slave of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The doors of his rizq, of his sustenance, which used to descend upon him, also weep for this dying person. The gathering of 500 malaikas are also collected around the person who has just passed away. When the persons giving the ghusl, when the persons who give the ghusl to the mayyat turn him from side to side, the malaika swiftly put on and deck him with the kafan that they have brought with them from Jannah. In the same way, the malaikas also quickly apply the perfume that they have brought from Jannah before the bather, before the people who are giving ghusl can apply their perfume to the body of the mayyat. Then the malaikas form two rows from the door to the qabr where he shall be buried. They form on both sides. As the mayyat moves, there's malaikas on the left and malaikas on the right. They're waiting for him to be buried in the grave so that they can then become his companions. Then the malaikas form two rows from the door to the qabr where he will be buried or she will be buried. There, upon arrival, they welcome him and make dua for his forgiveness and his mercy to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Shaitan is also watching the scene. Oh yes, the shayateen are also watching the scene as the mayat is led to the qabristan for burial. It is a tremendous tragedy for shaitan that this should have happened, and that shaitan could not capture or tempt and enslave this person. He says to his army of supporters and followers, who are all along, one side the malaikas are with him and the shayateen are with him. So the chief of the shayateen turns to his supporters and his followers and he tells them, may all of you be destroyed. How did this person escape your clutches? Shaitan cries and screams out loudly, wailing and lamenting his hopeless loss. His ardent slaves reply to him. They say, "Our master, he was protected by Allah. We could not break through the protection and the mercy that Allah provided to the slave of Allah." Thereafter, Malak al-Maut takes the soul of this mu'min and proceeds heavenwards. There, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam welcomes the soul that has been set free from its body through death with 70,000 angels, and these angels convey glad tidings of success, rewards and blessings from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Malak al-Maut comes with 500 angels, and Malak al-Maut goes, the angels that are with him, and they deliver the ruh to who? To Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. How many angels are accompanying Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam? 70,000 malaikas are with Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And these angels, 70,000 of them, convey glad tidings of success and rewards and blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this ruh. Then Malak al-Maut takes the soul to the arsh and the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he has been previously requested by Allah ta'ala. Arriving there, by the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the soul falls into sijda, into prostration before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the soul has been waiting for, to make sijda to Allah. All his life, that person has been making sijda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now, in the soul form, Malak al-Maut has brought it near the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the soul falls into sijda in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in absolute subjection, humiliation, surrender and submission. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the soul of this mu'min, "Fi sidrim makhzudim wa talhim manzudim wa zillim mamdudim wa ma'im maskubim وَفَاكِهَةٍ كَسِيرًا." Take my servant's soul. Take the soul of this beloved servant of mine. Take him amidst the thornless trees of Jannah, among the clusters of bananas of Jannah, to the extended spreading shades of Jannah, to the flowing waters of Jannah, and the abundant fruit in the gardens of Jannah. Surah Waqiyah, 56 Surah of the Quran Majeed. Short ayat. I've recited to you from verse number 28 to 32. Surah Waqiyah, 56 Surah of the Quran Majeed, verse number 28 to 32. The procedure is as follows. After the deceased of a pious mu'min is returned to the grave after its journey into the heavens, from there the ruh is brought and put into the qabr and its meeting with the angelic kingdom. When his body is placed in the grave, the salah he regularly observed throughout his stay in the world will stand on his right hand side. Now the ruh from there, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given all this, look, eventually when Qiyamah takes place, judgment takes place, that is his destination. But all that he is shown, she is shown all the rewards and the blessings that they are going to, she or he or she is going to receive. Then the ruh is taken and it is put back by the angels into the qabr. Because Munkar and Nakir still have to come, and the questioning and so on is still going to take place. So what happens in the qabr? The salah that this person regularly observed throughout his stay in the dunya, salah will come and stand on his right hand side. The fasting that the person observed will stand on the left hand side in the qabr. The tilawat of the Quran Majid and the zikrullah, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be above his head. By the head side, all the zikrs, tilawat that he or she used to make, it will come and stand by the head. Salah on the right. Sawm, not only of Ramadan, but voluntary nafil fast as well, will stand on the left. Tilawat and Dhikrullah will stand by the head. The steps that he took towards observing Salah, going to the masjid, will be near his legs. And also, as also the patience that he showed in the face of calamities and his restraint from sins will also occupy one corner of the Qabr. Then punishment enters the Qabr to carry out its task, and it stretches its neck to reach the deceased person. When it tries to reach the person, which punishment? When it tries to reach the person from the right hand side, Salah immediately intervenes, saying to it, keep away from him. Keep away from him. By Allah, he always overcame difficulties with strength of faith in the life of the world, with the strength of his iman. Let him rest now in ease in the qabr. Punishment then tries to reach him from the left hand side, but fasting intervenes and protects the person from any harm. And fasting tells punishment, oh no, you have no right to him, you have no access to him, for he always fasted for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then punishment tries to approach from the head side, but tilawat and dhikrullah immediately stand in between and prevent punishment from doing anything, saying, you have no right to approach from the head, from the top. No matter which way punishment tries to reach the body of the pious deceased mu'min in the qabr, in the grave, there is just no way it can cause any harm, inflict any harm to the mayat, to the dead person, to the deceased, because the ibadah, worship and praise of the deceased person, intervenes and prevents any harm from reaching him or her. She had spent a whole life in iman, in belief, in worship and in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now, in the hour of need, all those acts of worship and prayer come to the aid of this person. They help him, they surround him, they protect him and her from harm and hurt of the punishment which reaches the grave, which is trying to carry out its task and its duty. Punishment can find no way to reach the person, and punishment then departs from the grave, helpless and forlorn. At this moment, patience, who has been waiting in the qabr, patience, who has been waiting patiently in one corner of the qabr, patience, sabr, steps out and says to the other states of worship. It says to Salah, it says to the fasting, it says to Tilawat, it addresses itself to Zikrullah and all the good deeds, the Sunnah and so on. It says, I have been waiting patiently to assist this dead person, this deceased person. I have been waiting patiently to assist whichever one of you may have appeared weak and vulnerable, but alhamdulillah, you have protected this mu'min well collectively. However, I will yet help him if so required when his deeds are weighed on the scale of mizan. On that day of Qiyamah, when hisab takes place, when accountability takes place, I will go and assist him if he or she is in need of help. This is how the help of all the ibadah comes to the aid of the pious person who has spent his life or her life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in conformity to the teachings and practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the qabr, where we think only the dead and forgotten lie, alone and decayed, rotting, there is life out there, very different from our worldly, material, physical life. It is a very spiritual, manifest life, but a life nevertheless. It is our lifetime worship and prayer, our patience and our restraint, our discipline, our constant remembrance, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our meditation and our recitation, our denial and rejection of sin and wrong, our withholding ourselves from the haram and the forbidden, our rejection of forbidden pleasures, haram pleasures, these are the good and pious deeds that come to our rescue in the qabr, where we shall certainly live for a longer time than we do in this world. And how much peace and consolation will it bring to us if we have lived righteous and virtuous lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us piety, taqwa and iman. Ya Ameen Ya Rabbul Alameen. Very, very important, this section we have done here, in which I have portrayed to you what happens in that qabr. The period after death is a very, very busy period for the mayyat. We don't realize it, but look at the gift of knowledge which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. That is why I am saying people are amazed, Muslims even are amazed. There is so much absolute haqq. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't come to this dunya to make stories and tell us myths and legends, to tell us fables. These are not story fairy tales. This is the haqq. This is the absolute truth. This is exactly what is going to happen. The story of entry into the grave for the first time and the procedures enacted in the grave does not end here but continues even further. Two malaikas then come into the grave. All this has happened after the mayat. Imagine Malak al-Maut, the malaikas convey, they take the ruh up. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam waits with 70,000 angels to welcome this ruh. All of them greet. They are happy, pleased with this ruh. And all of them welcome this ruh. Then Malak al-Maut takes the ruh to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ruh then makes sijda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes it known to this ruh the what the destination is. I recited from Surah Waqiyah to you the ayat. And the person is shown, look, this is Jannah, this is where you're going. These are the fruits, gardens, pleasures, wonders of Jannah. These are the hurin of Jannah. This is what waits for you in Jannah. This is what you live for in the dunya. Then Malak al-Maut takes the ruh, brings it, not Malak al-Maut, but the malaikas that help him, his team of angels, 500 angels. Then they take him from there, bring him and put him in his qabr. The ruh put back into the body. And then all what I told you now takes place, where on the one hand shaitan cries and wails and says, well, I have failed, I failed the test. Other one, punishment comes into the qabr and punishment tries to reach him from the right, from the left, from the top, from the bottom. Everywhere the person is protected. Salah on the right protects him, fasting on the left protects him, dhikrullah and tilawat of the Quran, meditation, muraqabah protects him by the head side, by the leg side, all his efforts to make salah, walking to the masjid, going to the masjid, going in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not allow punishment to reach him from the leg side. Eventually, punishment decides, no chance here. There's no way I can torture this person, torment this person. There's too much protection around him. And punishment goes away. Punishment, when it goes away, it takes the scorpions, it takes the snakes, it takes all the punishments that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is, we're still going to do all the punishment of burning fires and all the rest of it, all that is removed from the person, taken away. Sabr then addresses all these, Sabr addresses that, all these things that have protected, all the ibadat that have protected the person. Sabr says, look, I've been waiting. If there was any weakness on your part, I would have come in and saved the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But alright, still, we'll see when his a'mal is weighed on the mizan, if he needs my help, then I will go and help him there. Alright, now attack goes away, punishment goes away. What happens now? The story of entry into the grave for the first time and the procedures enacted there does not end here, but continues even further. Two malaikas then come into the qabr. Their eyes are shining like lightning. Their voice is like loud crackling thunder. Their teeth are as big as the horns of a bull. Flames of fire spout forth from their mouths. Their long hair hangs down to their feet, and the distance between their shoulders is a long distance of several days' journey. They are like huge monsters. They have no touch of softness or tenderness in them. Their appearance is mind-boggling, but they do not handle or threaten the mu'min harshly or with cruelty. They are gentle towards him in spite of their size. These two angels, malaikas, are called Munkar and Nakir. Each one of these angels holds such a huge and colossal hammer in their hands that even if all the humans and jinns of this world wish to lift it up, they will not be able to do so. They approach the deceased person and they instruct him to sit up. Munkar and Nakir coming. Huge, huge, unimaginable. Don't even think about how can the qabr is so small, how can this huge figure come into the qabr of Munkar and Nakir? Don't worry about it. Allah, everything is possible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not use your sense of reason here. Reason doesn't work in akhirah. Don't even think about it. Don't even waste your time in thinking about that. Everything is possible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us is the haqq. They approach the deceased person and they instruct him. They say to him, sit up, get up, sit up. The person immediately sits up and his shroud, his kafan, falls down from his head to his hips. Munkar and Nakir, they begin to question him directly. Man Rabbuk? Who is your Rabb? Ma Dinuk? What is your religion? What is the name of your Nabi? What is the name of your Rasul? Three questions. Who is your Rabb? What is your religion? What is the name of your Nabi? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The deceased person is a pious mu'min, true believer. He replies confidently. He says, my Rabb is Allah. Allahu Rabbi. The one who has no partners. La sharika lahu. And who is the sovereign master of the universe? Rabbul Alameen. My religion is Islam. My Nabi is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is Khatabul Nabiyyin. He is the seal of all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All three questions that Munkar and Nakir asked him have been replied. What is the reply? My Rabb is Allah. My Allah is the one who has no partners. My Allah is the one who is the sovereign master of the universe. He is Rabbul Alameen. My religion, you ask me, Ma Dinuk, you ask me, what is my religion? My religion, Deen al-Islam. My Deen is Islam. Wa Rasuli, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khatamun Nabiyyin. He is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both the malaikas now respond. Munkar and Nakir respond to this person. They say to him, who is now sitting up, they say to him, you have replied correctly. Thereafter, the two angels remove the walls lining the grave from all sides. And the grave then becomes very spacious and wide in every direction, top and all four sides widened. Then they say to him, raise your head. When the mu'min raises his head, he sees a door like a window through the grave into Jannah. They say to him, O Wali of Allah, O friend of Allah, this is going to be your eternal abode, because you obeyed Allah Ta'ala and you obeyed Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam paused here and he told the Sahaba Ikram, by the oath of that Allah in whose control is my life, the deceased person experiences such happiness at this point as will never again return to him. The happiness when he is shown Jannah through that opening in the cover. First of all, what Munkar and Nakir do? They remove the sides. The sides are, what, 1 meter only? They remove it, they widen the gap. Allahu Akbar. They widen it. They widen it completely, and Alhamdulillah, there it is then. When the mu'min raises Allahu Akbar, all four sides, they say to him, O friend of Allah, this is your eternal abode because you obeyed Allah Ta'ala. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said here, by the oath of that being in whose control is my life, the deceased person experiences such happiness at this point. I will never again experience such happiness. Then the angels direct him, look towards your feet. When he does look towards his feet, he sees through a door of Jahannam and also sees the condition of Jahannam. The angels inform him, O friend of Allah, you have been saved from entering this door. Again the mu'min experiences happiness such as will never again return to him or her. Thereafter 77 doors shall be opened in his grave towards Jannah, from which the cool breeze and fragrances of Jannah shall continuously blow over him. This will continue to be his condition till the day of Qiyamah, till the day of resurrection. We end off there. Inshallah, our time is up. Jazakumullah. Wa akhiru da'wana. Anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.